One of the common scenarios we see in the Charleston tech and startup community is entrepreneurs starting or bringing their ventures to Charleston because of time spent here visiting and vacationing. The quality of life and dynamic, vibrant nature of the city is a draw, and entrepreneurs often look for an opportunity to make Charleston their home base. This is exactly the case with the venture we're featuring in this episode of the Charleston Digital Corridor Tech Life Podcast. I'm your host, Rich Conti, and I'm here in the podcast studio of the Charleston Digital Corridor's flagship incubator. This episode is brought to you by the City of Charleston. The City of Charleston is pleased to support the Charleston Digital Corridor with its mission to foster innovation and entrepreneurship. The episode is also sponsored by the I-5K. The I-5K race is a favorite weekday evening run and networking event for Charleston's tech professionals. This year's event is scheduled for June 2nd. Learn more and get your tickets at i5k.com. That's i5ek.com. Our guest today is Susan Porter. Susan is the co-founder of Abuzz. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Thank you. Very excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Glad to have you. Let's start with an overview of Abuzz. What problem are you solving?
We are solving the problem of the disconnected college student. Mm-hmm. We're at a time where every student has a phone and the campuses and the towns around the campuses have so much to offer, and there's a connection problem. There's students are having mental health issues. They're alone in their dorm scrolling their phone. They're not connecting. They want to transfer. We can't figure out why they can't take advantage of everything the campus has to offer, and we want to bring it to them.
What's your business model? Who's the actual customer?
The actual customer are the college students.
Okay.
The actual customer are the college students, and we want to bring them everything that the town, the campus, the administration has to offer. And the colleges and the administration have so many advantages, so many, whether it's business deals in the town or the administration has an amazing array of things for the college students to take advantage of. And the college student comes, but they don't know what's happening, and there's flyers around. And funny enough, I always say, we're trying to get rid of flyers. I can't believe that there are still flyers. There were flyers 30 years ago when I was at school, and now they have phones. So why is that information not on their phone?
Yeah.
And that's what Abuzz is trying to do.
Now, what type of customer acquisition model are you following? You're sort of going around to different schools, canvassing an area? Sort of
really, really good question. And that's how we started. Yeah. So we started at the University of Colorado. We spoke to their business school and told them what we were trying to do. We went to Colorado State, and then we went to about four more big schools. And we went in with ambassadors and tried to get our customer through ambassadors. And what we found out is if there's not buy-in from the administration, then we couldn't take hold of a campus.
Right.
So after doing that for 2 years, and we were successful, but then COVID hit, and all the college students left the college campus. And then what we found out is they were even more disconnected. And the Southern schools went back to school, and they said, hey, you know, we're so disconnected, we're sitting in our dorm room, we really have no idea what's going on. So we went to some Southern schools, had some success, and now we've partnered with this amazing, innovative school, Adrian College in Michigan. And their president, who's one of the most innovative people I've ever met, has brought the administration on. And now the entire campus, the administration and the towns, everything they have to offer is on the app. So that's our first school where we've had admin buy-in. And that's changed the game totally.
What other milestones have you hit that you think were sort of particularly notable in terms of the trajectory of the company going forward?
The biggest one was that we had admin buy-in from Adrian. That was huge. So then we concentrated just on Adrian, which we're doing now. And now we're about to bring in about three more schools that we're going to target around the Michigan area. The next thing is, which is really exciting for us, is all the incoming freshmen are just getting their .edus, and that's how you sign into Abuzz. And we are now, about this week, we are going to let the freshmen know about Abuzz. They can download it, they can claim their account, and they'll find out everything that's happening on campus and welcome week, sneak peek week. And there's this period that schools talk about, summer melt, where you get your .edu, you're all excited to come, but you don't come to the fall. And there's no real connection to the campus. We want that connection to be continuous. We want them to get their .edu and connect with other students. We have a student directory. They can find out where everyone's from, find out what's happening. So from the day they get their .edu to the day they arrive on campus, they're instantly connected to their school and their town.
Yeah, it was quite a while ago for me, of course, and pre-internet, but I distinctly remember that experience. You know, you get the acceptance early on, and really the only connection was you got basically, I think, a freshman directory back then. And, you know, you'd look through the faces and the names, but of course, there was no way to start to establish any connection to them or the campus itself until you arrived in September. So that's great.
Literally, exactly. We had a thing, I went to Denison University, a great small private school. And they had a thing called the baby book. Mm-hmm. And we got this book, and it was your senior portrait, usually, name, major, and where you're from. And that was your Bible. Mm-hmm. And that was the only way you were going to find out about people. And now to think that this whole directory is online, and you can find out people from your hometown, your home state, interests, major, and you could sit in your bedroom I'm originally from Chicago, mm-hmm. scroll through, find out people, find out and join clubs and find out things from the school all that summer. I would have been so excited. Mm-hmm. I would have been so excited to be able to do that in my hometown before I went.
Are there any other key members of the team that you want to call out?
We do. I have my co-founder, Peter Batchelder, who is product. He's got an ed tech background. He's up in New Hampshire. And then my team here, I've got Nick, Melissa, and Kate, who work on marketing and implementation, and they work with the ambassadors and digital marketing. And then we also have Mary Beth, who is back in Massachusetts, and she is our CFO. And then we have amazing developers that are in the Midwest that we work with all the time. Mm-hmm. And we're so lucky because they've even worked with Adrian about what Adrian would like, and to have developers that will work with the client. Right. We are so lucky. And that's probably been part of our success.
What about your background? And in particular, you know, it's clear you've got a passion for the student experience. What drew you to the technology space? Was it really about solving that problem?
It was about solving that problem 100%. I am a liberal arts major with no tech background. It started when I brought my kids on the college visit and where to stay, where to eat, and what to do during all that trip. And you know what you do is you call a friend, or somebody's niece goes there. How do I find out all the best to get the best 24 hours? Because now people are going not just regionally to school, they're going all over the country. And I couldn't believe that there was nowhere to find if I went. I remember going down to Clemson and I didn't know where to stay, where to eat, but mm-hmm. it's an amazing college town. So when I finished that, I started a website called College Town Insider, where to stay, where to eat, and what to do mm-hmm. on campus. And as we grew that, I started asking, we need more content. So I was asking some college students, hey, where's the best biology tutor? Where's the mm-hmm. best place to get Chinese food? What's the best place to go see a movie? I said, can't you just ask? In my mind, it was ask the campus. How do you ask other students? And they said, well, I text my friends, I text my team or my sorority. And if I really needed a biology tutor, I'd go down to the biology department and there would be a flyer and I could find one. And I said, wait a minute, you're going to look for a flyer in 2020. We went and looked for flyers in 1988. Why is that not on your phone? Can't you just, again, in my mind, it was, can't you text your campus? And they said, there's not really something that doesn't exist. So we shifted our focus from a website for parents to the Abuzz app for students, because I couldn't believe it didn't exist. Mm-hmm. And it also at the same time, I had a lot of friends whose children were going to campuses, sitting in their dorm rooms, scrolling their phones, not connecting, saying, you know what, I don't like it here. I haven't met anybody. I don't like this school. Well, really it was, they haven't found their people. Mm-hmm. They haven't found their groups. They haven't connected and taken advantage of everything the school has to offer. So that's our goal. That is my passion, is at the end of 4 years, success to me is you took advantage of everything your university and your college town had to offer. And you left and it was a great experience versus kind of, I went in, I graduated. Yeah. I joined one club and I left.
Well, it sounds like you were doing, you may not have known it at the time, but you were doing a lot of great market validation and customer discovery sort of early on, even before you were actively pursuing the venture. Were you aware of it at the time?
I was not aware of it.
What was the experience that led you to say, hey, I'm going to actually start a business around this and use technology to solve this problem?
Luckily, Peter Batchelder, my co-founder, my husband knew from other business ventures, and we got together, and he was having children to just start the college process, and he has all the technical background, and that's how we started to think about it as a business. That's how it started, but no, I have no technology background. When we first started talking to developers, and we were in Cambridge with our first developers, they were speaking another language. I didn't know what an MVP was. I didn't know any of that. And it's, you know, we say it's building the parachute on the way down, jumping out of the plane. But it's been amazing. And the stories that we've heard from the students, especially during COVID, about events they've gone to, internships they've gotten, how they've met people, how they've gotten exposure to things they couldn't have because they got a push notification about it. We're starting to get all that customer feedback. And we just were at Adrian. We got letters from students that I couldn't even believe. And I started this saying, if one student finds a buzz and goes on and loves their college experience, it's a win.
What was some of the initial challenges you might have faced, or if there was one in particular, and what did you do to sort of recognize it and then overcome it?
The biggest challenge was universities, especially large universities, if you don't have an innovative president or admin, they're like, we have a website, it's fine. Our students can find out what's happening on a website. Well, and or they get emails about what's happening. Students don't open emails. That's so antiquated. And so we found out that if the school isn't bought in, it's not going to work. The students want it, but that's only what's happening around campus. They need to know what the admin is given. They need to know what forms are due. They need to know what's happening on campus from them. And we're just this small space in between what they have to offer and what the students want. Mm-hmm. And it's all on your phone.
As you've been building out the solution, what are some of the things that maybe sort of you've learned along the way or experiences that have happened that have really given you confidence that you're on the right track?
I would say the biggest confidence builder that we were very excited about is our ability to push out notifications. Mm-hmm. A student's on campus and they get a notification that says, hey, in an hour, the field hockey team is playing. Hey, in an hour, we have this amazing speaker from the econ department. There was an event, ironically, about a month ago where there was an event on campus, Roe versus Wade. It was a debate. They thought maybe it's a small school, so maybe 20, 40 people would show up. They send a push notification an hour before the debate. They had standing room only. Wow. They couldn't believe it. And there's an example of put out a push notification and have people come. So the attendance rate in Adrian the first semester at events has gone up 25%. I'd like a push notification for everything that's going on in my community. And whether it's free food, an event, a speaker, whatever it is, if these students get a push notification, they attend. And that's been a huge success.
Yeah, that's a great story to share when you go into other colleges and you face some of that resistance. You know, you've got a really clear example where utilizing the technology in a different way than they're used to is really moved the needle.
Exactly.
Now, you mentioned earlier, you've got a little bit of a distributed team, which is common these days, but you do have a presence here in Charleston, here in the Charleston Tech Center. Talk to me about what led to that. Was it, hey, I want to set up some degree of shop here in Charleston right from the start, or did it sort of just evolve that way?
Well, it's so funny, and I'm thinking about this right now, and it's the same problem college students are having, is we weren't together. Right. We were remote, and I knew that that could work, but we needed some base that we could get together at some point. And it's the same thing we're trying to do with Abuzz. And we sold our house in Boston. We have an apartment there. But we knew we were going to be full-time in Charleston because of COVID, which, as you know, it's a gorgeous place to be. And we were thinking, where could we go? Well, we're not really sure about the size or a long-term lease. And the tech center's been amazing. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what we wanted. I came in, we toured with hard hats and signed up, and it's got space to grow too. We signed up and we're, you know, a 4-person here, and we already are. I talked to Elaine about getting a larger space. I mean, the fact that there's a podcast room and kitchen, and they've speakers brought in, and they have conference rooms and rooftop decks. It is an amazing space. And that's why they're, from what I know, basically full.
It's like a little village.
It's a little village of innovative people in what I think is the best city.
Now, I know it's been difficult coming out of COVID, and a lot of the events and activities have sort of just starting to spring back up. But what have your experiences been starting to integrate here into the Charleston tech and entrepreneur communities?
It's just starting. And I would say the coolest thing is all the events that the Tech Center has and the speakers they come in. Mm-hmm. Charleston is very quietly one of the most innovative, and obviously culture is big and history is big, but the people that I'm meeting are coming here say, I want a great lifestyle. I want to be by the beaches, and I don't care if you like golf or you like history, but the Tech Center is saying, I've heard that there people are moving from Seattle, from LA. I think you've got all these people that want to live somewhere that they can have a great lifestyle with very interesting, I keep saying innovative, but that's really what it is, people. So it's just starting, in my opinion.
Yeah, and my day job, you know, if you rewind about 10 years ago and think about talent acquisition, we never had a problem recruiting early career folks right out of college and whatnot. Come live by the beach,
right.
You know, work in a cool place, you know, with a tremendous hospitality scene. It was always that mid-career that was more difficult. And it's just amazing how it's evolved over the past, you know, decade.
So two of our, I say younger, and now they're 29 and 26, Nick and Melissa lived in New York and in Colorado, and they've both moved here. Mm-hmm. And it's great for us to be together, but it's also great for them to live in a city like Charleston.
Now, what's your sort of assessment of where we're at? You talked about, you know, how there's, you know, nice critical mass of innovative folks, but, you know, have you started to form any opinions about what some of the challenges we might be facing or unique opportunities that we might be able to take advantage of as a community?
I would say that we're just on the upswing. It's like the hockey stick. Yep. You know, I can't even think of anything negative because it's booming. Mm-hmm. It's really, really booming. I think probably that there's no housing anymore. Mm-hmm. Probably that, you know, it's hard to find a place to live because everybody wants to be here. I don't see any disadvantage except for the housing and the city's getting so full.
Right. Yeah, infrastructure
is a challenge, but they keep adding flights to Charleston. Mm-hmm. People keep moving here. I would say, if anything, it's just an issue of where am I going to live?
What do you hope the community brings to a buzz as you're trying to grow the company, grow the venture, and vice versa? How do you see yourself sort of benefiting from and integrating further into the community?
I would love to hire someone. I would love to know more about the companies, and which they do a good job, but I need to do that more. I would love to hire more people from the Tech Center. As we expand to more schools, we're going to need more people. We're also expanding with our revenue model. What we want to do with a buzz is bring on a digital wallet. So when the student arrives on campus, let's say they have $500 in their wallet, and it could be from Domino's, Target, Bed Bath & Beyond, companies that college students really want to be a part of, banks, any bank, car companies, and they each put money in this digital wallet. They arrive on campus, they have $500, and then they're set, you know, for the time being. I'd love to meet people in that space that can help us bring the digital wallet to life.
Yeah. What a great way for a pizza shop, a sandwich shop to build a loyal following.
Exactly.
What does long-term success look like for a buzz?
Long-term success of a buzz would be on every campus. Is a long-term success back at part of its revenue for scholarships. Mm-hmm. That would be unbelievable. That's the end goal. The other end goal would be, after being on every campus as graduate and undergraduate students, we want to hit the alumni market, that you could graduate, you become now an Abuzz alumni, and connect the students to graduates. They move to a new city, they want to meet other people from their college campus. So it's the whole life cycle from you got your .edu to a graduate. So that's long term. Right now, we just are looking to bring on three more schools. We're trying to see who'd be a good fit for a buzz.
Now, earlier you mentioned getting buy-in from the college themselves, particularly the leadership, is a big challenge you faced early on. Mm-hmm. How about long term? What do you think is the biggest challenge to you achieving that type of scale that you talked about?
It would only be where a school doesn't want to have buy-in because, quote unquote, they already have a website. We already do this. I think they're afraid of change, like anybody. And it's the schools that try new things, I think, that will succeed. And I think where President Docking is very innovative and has started things, he started something called the RISE program, where he's pairing smaller schools with less majors. And you can stay at Adrian, but you can go get a degree they might not have, adding some classes from another school. You need, especially the small private schools, to do something different. Mm-hmm. The old model is not going to be around. And a buzz is something that's different too. So the roadblock would be a school that says, nope, we know what we're doing, and sending emails to students and showing them a website of what's happening around them is the way the future is.
Yeah. So it's really differentiation, but not so much from direct competitors, from existing technologies and systems that right. universities have.
Yep.
Now, what advice would you give to somebody who is maybe in your shoes several years ago, clearly has a passion for a problem space, maybe not a background in technology? What would your advice to them be?
Hire the right people. Hire your weaknesses. Don't be afraid to fail. I know that's very generic, but my husband, who's in the private equity business, is not afraid to fail. And that took a lot. And learn as fast as you can and just talk to smart people. And I know these all sound like very generic, but I would say the biggest thing is don't be afraid to fail. You will go through so many different iterations of what your company. We were College Town Insider, and then we switched to a bus, and then we started with students, and then we started bringing admin in. There's a great book about Netflix, mm-hmm. about the start of Netflix, about how they were sending the DVDs, and then they were doing this. You're going to pivot, yeah. and it's don't be married to your first idea.
Yeah. There's a lot of discussion, obviously, I'm in the industry, and there's a lot of discussion about failure. And, you know, for me, it's always been, you know, right from the outset, you know, don't frame it binary as success or failure. Frame it as learning, right? And you need to go through different experiences. And some of those experiences aren't always entirely positive, but they're there to a basis for learning and growing and doing more going forward.
It's funny. That's what I always say to our team, to my boys, anything. It's something what they consider bad or a failure. I said, well, what'd you learn? What'd you learn? And every learn that you get is a nugget. And we just celebrated, you know, we're going to bring the freshmen in at Adrian, and we're so excited for them to learn more about the college and the campus. And I said, we have to celebrate the small wins. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't go right, what did we learn? There is no failing. It's just learning, winning and learning. That's it.
Well, where can listeners go to learn more about ABUZZ?
www.campusabuzz.com is our website. We also have an Instagram, Campus ABUZZ. But the website has everything you need to know about it and a good video of the day in life of a student using ABUZZ. Mm-hmm. I would say that's the best place to start.
Susan Porter, co-founder of ABUZZ. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. This was great.
Thanks for joining us on the Charleston Digital Corridor Tech Life Podcast. And thanks to our sponsors, the City of Charleston and the I-5K. The City of Charleston is pleased to support the Charleston Digital Corridor with its mission to foster innovation and entrepreneurship. The I-5K race is a weekday evening run and one of the favorite networking events for Charleston's tech professionals. This year's event is scheduled for June 2nd. Learn more and get your ticket at i5k.com. That's i5vek.com. Thanks to our sponsors and the Charleston Digital Corridor for making the show possible. Don't forget to subscribe to the show wherever you find your favorite podcasts so you don't miss an episode. Leave us a rating and review so we know how we're doing, and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Until next time, I'm Rich Conti, and this is the Charleston Digital Corridor Tech Life Podcast.